Over the past few weeks, we've discussed a variety of issues relating to Erevin. We discussed who you have to rent the space from in order to make an Erev, to combine everybody together, and a number of other issues, practical issues relating to Erev, the box of matzahs and things like that. But what we think of when we think of an Erev typically is the actual Suras HaPesach, is the poles with the string. So let's start to discuss the halachas of the Suras HaPesach. When we're allowed to use a Tzuras HaPesach, what the qualifications are for a Tzuras HaPesach, and then we'll try to get a working idea of how an Erev really works. I'm learning this together with you. I'm not that far ahead, other than I'm one shir ahead in terms of I just prepared tonight's shir. So I'm trying to arrange. I think I'm going to try to arrange with for someone to lead, like maybe a bike tour around the North Woodmere Erev. You can't go in a car. You need some flexibility. So I don't know, something to go around the North Woodmere Erev just to get us familiar with all the different parts of the Erev and what chumras we've included. Maybe after we go through these shiurim. Okay. So anyway, so the Tzuras HaPesach. Where does the idea of Tzuras HaPesach come from? So the basic idea of a Tzuras HaPesach is the Gemara Maseches Erevin tells us that in order to create a Tzuras HaPesach, Erevin Daf Yud Aleph and Beis. Tzuras HaPesach Sha'amru Kana Mikan V'Kana Mikan V'Kana Al Gabehen. Definition of a Tzuras HaPesach: a pole on this side, pole on that side, and a pole running across the top. It doesn't have to be a pole, it could be a string, something running across the top. And that's the tzura, that's the basic form of a Pesach, of a doorway. So that's what we need to create in certain circumstances. That is the definition of a Tzuras HaPesach. Now, Rav Shechter many years ago wrote an article in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society. This goes back many years. Doesn't say 1983. So he wrote an article on the laws of Erevin, an overview, a basic background to the halachas of Erevin, and he describes Tzuras HaPesach in the following way. He says the rationale behind this type of mechitza is as follows: since a house is most certainly Rishus Yachid, it's the very definition of Rishus Yachid, surrounded by mechitzos, even as a roof, even with its doors wide open, meaning if a house's doors are open, you don't say, oh, it's no longer Rishus Yachid, now it's a Karmelis or something. No, even if the door is open to the shul, let's say, the shul is still a Rishus HaYachid, and even when it has several doors, and all of the doors are open, it's still a Rishus HaYachid. It doesn't lose the status of a Rishus HaYachid. So why shouldn't an enclosure surrounded totally by doorways, if you have an area that's surrounded completely by Tzuras HaPesach, even when the doors are missing and only the door frames are actually there, be considered Rishus HaYachid as well? All that you need for such a door frame mechitza: a pole on one side, a pole on the other side, a pole running across the two from above. So strictly speaking, there should be no limit to how many Tzuras HaPesach a person is allowed to use, and it could create a Rishus HaYachid. Now, that's the basic idea, that every house has doors, and if a door is open, it's still a house, it's still called a Rishus HaYachid. House has walls also, so we'll see what the qualifications, what the requirements of walls are in order to be to make a Tzuras HaPesach. Can you in fact make an Erev of only Tzuras HaPesach, or do you need walls also? We'll get to that, Bez Hashem, a little later tonight. Now, is the Tzuras HaPesach actually a doorway? So, also a nice introductory note to the concept of Tzuras HaPesach in this sefer, The Laws of an Erev, by Rabbi Francis and Rabbi Glenner, they explain that a Tzuras HaPesach is supposed to look like a doorway. It's supposed to resemble a doorway. The basic form of a Tzuras HaPesach, kan mikan, kan al gabehem, that resembles the way a doorway normally looks. Normally a doorway like this one, two side posts and a post running across the top. So, but it doesn't have to be an actual doorway. It has to have the basic conditions of looking like a doorway without actually being a doorway. Three ways that this comes out, that it doesn't have to be an actual doorway. Three illustrations of how it doesn't have to be an actual doorway, but it has to have the tzura of a Pesach, the tzura of a doorway. Number one, the minig is that we don't put a mezuzah on the Tzuras HaPesach. If it were an actual doorway, and it's enclosing Rishus HaYachid, so we should put a mezuzah on the Tzuras HaPesach. Our minig is that we do not put a mezuzah on the Tzuras HaPesach. The Nesivus and Makar Chaim and Tikkun Erevin, Makar Chaim is safer on Hilchas Pesach, really, but in the section on Tikkun Erevin, he explains we do not put a mezuzah. If we would consider Tzuras HaPesach an actual doorway, then we would need to put a mezuzah on the Tzuras HaPesach. Furthermore, second illustration of how it's not actually a Pesach, but just the tzura of a Pesach, the Marsham in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Samach Beis points out that no one actually makes door frames using strings or wire or telephone wires. Yet our tzuras haPesach, although telephone wires and electric wires, they try not to use. For at least l'chadchila, for a very simple reason, that they're very heavy and they sag. And there's a big discussion in the poskim, is the top part of the Tzuras Pesach allowed to sag more than three tefachim? So l'chadchila were machmir not to allow them to sag more than three tefachim. So we try to use like fishing wire, which could be very taut and is not gonna sag over time. But no one makes a natural door frame with fishing wire. Certainly, that's not a thing to do. And nevertheless, says Marsham, Tzuras HaPesach made out of fishing wire is fine because it's the form of a doorway. It's the shape of a doorway. It's not an actual real doorway. So Tzuras HaPesach has to have certain features. Tzuras HaPesach does resembles a typical door frame, but not in every single way. The third illustration of how Tzuras HaPesach is just the tzura of a Pesach, but not an actual Pesach per se, is that a Tzuras HaPesach is missing part of one of the side posts. Let's say one of the posts, one of the poles begins three tefachim off the ground, is pasul. Even though physically it may be strong enough to be used as a doorway, when a Tzuras HaPesach is, and on the flip side, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach comprised of two very flimsy side posts and a string, that's a valid Tzuras HaPesach, even though it doesn't physically resemble a doorway. Because again, it doesn't have to physically be a doorway, it doesn't have to function as a doorway, it needs to be something that's the Tzura of a Pesach, that's the simple Tzura of a doorway. So that's the basic idea of Tzuras HaPesach that we use. Now we're going to have to discuss a lot of things. There are a lot of issues that come up in discussing Tzuras HaPesach. First of all, does it work on all walls and in any sort of area? Meaning, can you make Tzuras HaPesach on all four sides and have that? That's the question you were just discussing, that Michael just raised. And what are the limitations of Tzuras HaPesach in terms of the usage of the area that it surrounds? Is Tzuras HaPesach allowed to be used anywhere? In a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, can you just make Tzuras HaPesach around the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and say that you can be Mater Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Bekach by making Tzuras HaPesach around it? Or do you need to actually turn it into a Rosh Hashanah Yachid in some other way, or at least take away the status of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Darai? So one of the shailas that they had to deal with when they made the Farakaway Lawrence Eruv was 878. Does the fact that 878 runs through, which connects Queens all the way to Nassau County to Atlantic Beach, does that create a problem of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Even though there aren't 600,000 people going to 870, but it opens up into these larger cities. So that was one of the issues that they had to contend with. If you want to learn about many of the issues in a brief shiur, especially if you're learning Erevin, if you've seen a lot of the sugyas, there's a fantastic video of Rav Stein Zichrono Livracha. Rav Stein was the posek of Shar Yashav. He passed away a number of years ago already, and in 1999, I think it was, he made a video. Just it's him speaking in his office, but as he's speaking, they're showing footage of the different parts of the Farakwe Lawrence Eruv, where he basically takes you through the Eruv and he shows you all of the different issues that they had to deal with. 27 minutes on YouTube, well worth your while if you have 27 minutes and you're serious about understanding the way an Eruv works. It's not like the most exciting, entertaining shiur, but it's educational. You really get a picture of how an Eruv works. So that's one issue. Does Tzuras HaPesach work over 878, something that potentially at least borders or opens to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, perhaps? Second issue that we're going to have to discuss, do the side posts have to reach all the way up to the top? In communities where they're using the telephone wires, which b'di'evet, if it sags, you can still use it. L'chadchil, we try not to. So a lot of times they'll put a little, you'll see on the side of a light pole sometimes, a little post, a little piece of wood that goes like up to here, 10 tefachim high, and just stops. So is that okay, or does the Tzuras HaPesach, does it have to be that the top beam is resting on the side beams? Is it okay to have them at a great distance from each other where the side beams don't reach all the way to the top? Or what if it doesn't, even if it's okay for it not to reach the top, what if there's something stuck in between? There's something in between the side post and the top beam. This happens all the time when they're using light poles and telephone poles, because they have, you ever notice those like metal boxes where they have all sorts of telephone wires or whatever, electric boxes. I guess in Sandy we discovered these things that they're working on those all day they eventually they worked on those to get us our electricity back. So those very often will interrupt between the post and, or if when we want to make an error, that may or may not be a problem. We have to discuss if it interrupts between the post and the actual top beam. Another issue is a lot of times Tzuris HaPesach will be obstructed by bushes, meaning does Tzuris HaPesach have to be an actual opening that I can go through, or if there are bushes right through the whole Tzuris HaPesach? So Tzuris HaPesach runs over an area of like forest, so you can't really walk through the Tzuris HaPesach. So the Pesach looks like a Tzuris HaPesach, but you can't actually walk through it. Is that a problem in terms of being a Tzuris HaPesach? Can the post be slanted? Very, very challenging when making an Eruv to actually keep the posts straight, because when you put it up against a utility pole, they're always leaning, the utility poles. And if you put it up against a light pole, you know, where the traffic lights, so it'll have like this thick box at the bottom, and then it narrows as it goes up. So when you put it up against the pole, it's also gonna be slanted. So these are things we often don't think about as we're wheeling our strollers or carrying our talus bags on Shabbos. But these are things that have to be dealt with from a halachic level. What if you have a Tzuris HaPesach runs over a body of water, so you can't walk through? You can only swim through the Tzuris HaPesach. What if the two poles are at different heights and you have the top string going on a slant? Is that okay? Can it pass over a wall? Can there be space between the side posts and the closest walls? All of these issues, tons and tons of issues. We're not going to get to all of them tonight, but at least we'll begin the discussion this evening. And again, as we've had in the past few shiurim, I'm going to base the majority of everything we say, Kimat Kulo, from off of Rav Baruch Simon's Sefer Imrei Baruch on Erevin Rishuyos, the most clear Sefer that I'm aware of on the topic. So, so let's begin. The Gemara, we've begun, but let's continue. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Aleph, the Gemara tells us, Amar Ravin Bar Avada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Maisa Ba'adam Echa. There's a story of a guy, Mibikas Beis Chorsan, from a certain valley, Shenat Dalid Kundesin Ba'arba Pinos Hasada. He put down four poles in four corners of his field. Good. Umatach zmora aleim, and he took a vine and he ran it on top of the four poles. So now he built himself a square with a vine running across the top of the poles. Uba meisel fnei chacham v'yitiru lo l'inyan klayim. And the chacham said, "Oh, that's fantastic in terms of klayim. Okay, there are many forms of klayim. There's kilei behema, there's kilei begadim, and there's kilei zra'im. So this is the kilei zra'im kind. We're not talking about shatness. We're not talking about intermingling animals. We're talking about when you're not allowed to plant, let's say for kilei Karim, you're not allowed to plant vines next to wheat, so you have to have a fence in between. What if you don't have a proper fence, you just have a Tzuris HaPesach in between? So intuitively we would think that can't possibly work, you need to actually separate. They could be growing over into each other with just a Tzuris HaPesach. Says the Gemara, Hitira lo linyan klayim. Tzuris HaPesach, that's good enough for a klayim, for kilei zrayim. V'omrei shlakish kederek shehitira lo linyan klayim, kach hitira lo linyan Shabbos. Just like it was mutter for klayim, it's mutter for Shabbos. Now, the topic of that Gemara is the idea of using a Tzuris HaPesach in the first place. There isn't that much in the Gemara, or even in Shulchan Aruch, about the details of Tzuris HaPesach. Shulchan Aruch, there are a few si'ifim in Shin Samach Beis, Shin Samach Gimel, not all that much. Most of what we know about Tzuris HaPesach is really first fleshed out in the Tshuvas of the Achronim. But the Gemara was just telling us about the notion of Tzuris HaPesach, about the concept the Tzuris HaPesach. It was not really there to try to... The angle you get from the Gemara is that the Gemara is not angling to try to tell you how many mechitzos you can make a Tzuris HaPesach on and have it still be good. It doesn't sound that way. The Gemara is saying, oh, what does the Tzuris HaPesach do? Oh, it's like a mechitza. In what way is it like a mechitza? It helps for klayim. Oh, not only does it help for klayim, it helps for Shabbos also. But it happens to have told a story where the example that it gives is that the Tzuris HaPesach covers all four sides, that there are no walls. The whole field is surrounded only by Tzuris HaPesach. So, bepashtus, the Gemara sounds like it's saying, you can be makif the entire area by only Tzuris HaPesach, from all four sides with nothing else. That's what it sounds like from the pashtus of the Gemara. But Tosfos on Daf Yud Aleph over there quotes from the Ritzba. Tosas Ritzba Mefarish Tahachalo Airi Bidalid Defanos. No, we're not talking about where you have four walls over here. I mean, we're not talking about where you have Tzuras HaPesach on all four sides. Can't be. Vachi Perusho. Kachi Tiru Le'inyan Shabbos B'mefulash Tahainu Beis Mechitzos. Typically, what do you need to fix on Shabbos in the discussions in the Gemara? You have a mavoi that needs fixing. That a mavoi, you're not allowed to carry in a mavoi. That's where they lived. They lived in neighborhoods called mavuos. So you had several chatzeros that opened up into a mavoi, into this alleyway, and the mavoi opened up into Rosh Hasharabim. And they wanted to be able to carry from chatzer to chatzer in the mavoi. There were two basic types of mavoi. There's a mavoi she'enu mefulash and a mavoi mefulash. The mavoi she'enu mefulash has walls on three sides where chatzeros open up into it, and one open side where it opens up into Rosh Hasharabim. A mavoi mefulash has walls on two sides, and both ends are open, and you can walk right through from one end to the other. So like a Mavi Sheinu Mefulash would be like a dead-end street, and a Mavi Mefulash is a street that's not a dead-end, that opens on both sides. So Tos says, yeah, this means, when we say that Tzuras HaPesach works L'inyan Shabbos, it means in a typical Shabbos case where it's a Mavi, where you already have two walls. So if you already have two walls, the Tzuras HaPesach will cover you for the two openings. Meaning, when the Gemara says V'chein le'inyan Shabbos, kachi tirulo le'inyan Shabbos, it doesn't mean that just like by Klayim we allow it on all four sides, by Shabbos we also allow it on all four sides. By Klayim, it doesn't make a difference how many sides it is. There's no such halacha about how many sides by Klayim. So it means, just like it's considered a mechitza for Klayim, by Klayim, two sides, three sides, four sides, doesn't matter, so too by Shabbos, where you're allowed to have it, which is only on two sides, that's the max, then it can work. The Tzuras HaPesach can work. That's the Ritzpah. So apparently the Ritzpah is very clear that you don't need, that you're not allowed to make a Tzuras HaPesach midalid ruchos on four sides. This comes up in a camp setting a lot of times where they don't have as many buildings that they could use, that they could be mitzdarif as the actual walls of the mechitza. It comes up when they set up an army base or something like that, when chayalim set up an army base, you know, where they want to use Tzuras HaPesach as much as possible. So this is a significant limitation according to the Shita of the Ritzvah, and the explanation seems to be that a Tzuras HaPesach is considered not like, well, this is exactly Michael's point from before. A Tzuras HaPesach is a doorway. You can't have a doorway if you can't have a house of only doorways. There has to be some house there also. So a person doesn't make his entire house only, I mean, the rationale that Rav Shechter gave, that if your house's doors are open, it's still a house, it's still a Rosh HaSayachid. Yeah, but if all the walls are blown out, is it still a house? So if you have only doorways, it's probably not a house. So that's the Pashut Hesber of the Ritzvah. Now it should be noted, there's a third way to understand the Gemara, that's not like the Pashtus of the Gemara, not like the Ritzvah either. The Rabbeinu Chananel, right there in the Gemara, says, Va'amrinon Maisa Be'echad Mibikas Be'ischorsan Shinaz Dalu Kondesin B'dalu Pinos Asada Kinyan Da'amrin. Tells over the Gemara that they had the four poles on the four corners of the field. U'bein Elu Kondosim Kanim Ze Eitzel Ze B'pachos Migimel Tfachim. He makes up a detail that the Gemara doesn't say. He says, and between those poles, they had a whole bunch of other poles that were within three Tfachim of each other. Didn't say that, just said it's more alay. But what did you have? A bunch of other poles within three tvachim of each other, which is what we call lovewood. So the whole thing is really closed off. So you have a mechitza. Kedei shetia, kemo mechitza, umatach zmar alay, and b'shil shlo yishmetu v'yiplu zlasi makom ha-pesach. And then, what do you need the vine running across the top of it? You have wall. You don't need to take, if you have an actual mechitza, you don't need to run a vine across the top of a mechitza. No, that was just to hold the poles in place. Sometimes you put something down on top of it to hold them together, so it just keeps the poles there. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel understood the Gemara. So the Rabbeinu Chananel explains the sugi that it's sung on all four sides, but it doesn't get to our discussion of where you can have Tzuras HaPesach, because this isn't about Tzuras HaPesach. It's about making walls. Good. That is a third way of understanding the sugya, but that wouldn't help us at all to understand Tzuras HaPesach. So far, in terms of when can we use Tzuras HaPesach, and this is important in Sidi Eruvin, we have to figure out how much wall we have and how much Tzuras HaPesach. Like I've pointed out many times already, in North Woodmere, we have almost all wall. We have because we're surrounded by water, which sometimes works to our advantage, sometimes to our disadvantage, being surrounded by water. We don't love the floods and we don't love the mosquitoes, but we love having all the municipal fences that they build around those waters so that we can have walls on all sides. And a little bit of Tzuras HaPesach that runs along one side. in the Farakway Lawrence Erev, thanks to the Long Island Railroad, there's a lot of wall also. The actual there's a platform, and the platform itself has a din of a mechitza, right? It probably qualifies as a mechitza. So it runs along Farakway through Inwood. That's considered wall, and a lot of the area in Seeger Boulevard, a lot of that area is surrounded by actual walls. So we happen to have a lot of wall to use in our Eruv, which is a significant advantage that not every community has. I'm not that familiar with the rest of the Eruv, with everything in between. I mean, only Farakwe, my only familiarity with Farakwe Lawrence from watching that video was Rabbi Stein, and from our own Eruv I've taken tours of, but I'm not that familiar with the area in between, with Cedarhurst, Woodmere, everything else. So there is another shita, and this is a critical shita. Two ways to understand the shita, and this makes all the difference in the world. It pretty much makes the difference whether we're allowed to have an Erev or not. This is the shita of Rambam. The Rambam writes, Kol mechitza Rambam perek tazayin alacha tazayin, kol mechitza sheyesh ba paratz meruba ala omed, eina mechitza. If you have a mechitza that's more open than it is closed, that is not a mechitza. Mechitza has to be a wall, it's got to be closed. Avlim haya paratz ki omed, hareza muteres. If it's equal, it's 50-50, that's fine. Ublvad shaloy yeba'osna pirtzos, now here he adds in, and even when it's 50-50, or more omed than paratz, more wall than open space, you can't have ba'osna pirtzos, pirtzos shi yeser al eser amos. That's the killer. You can't have an opening that's more than 10 amos. 10 amos, what are we talking, 17 feet? So it's not all that much. A pirtza, an opening that's more than 10 amos. Aval eser amos harei kepesach. But if it's 10 amos or less, then that's considered just an opening, that's considered a doorway, it's not considered a pirtza. That any fence is going to have some breach in it so that you can get in and out, that you can walk through. So up until 10 amos, that's considered a pesach. Beyond 10 amos, not a pesach. But let's say you have a breach that's more than 10 amos and you make a tzuras ha-pesach, you don't lose the mechitza. But again, says the Rambam, you got to make sure you need more omed than parutz. You still need more fence than you do opening. And then when you have 10 amma wide openings, you can use the tzuras ha-pesach to enclose the 10 amma wide openings. But you still need omed meruba al parutz. So the Rambam seems to assume tzuras ha-pesach works for a mechitza when you already have the qualification of Omid Merubah Al-Paretz. You already have mostly wall, and there happens to be a break in the wall that's more than 10 amos. Tzuras HaPesach is misaking that. Similarly, Tzuras HaPesach would work if you have two full walls. I have to take the case of the Mavoi Mefulash, where you have two full walls on both sides, you need to connect those walls in some way, so you make a Tzuras HaPesach on the ends to connect those walls. That's how the Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam in Perek Yud Zayin Halacha Gimel, where he says the Magen Mishnah explains the Heich Matir Mavoi Mefulash Oslo Tzuras HaPesach Mikan Belachi Yakar Mikan, that the way to take a Mavoi Mefulash, which has two full walls, and the way to be Matir is by making Tzuras HaPesach on both ends. But that's how we that's the Rambam. Now, what exactly does the Rambam mean? So there's a fundamental Machlokas Achronim, whether according to the Rambam, when you have paratz meruba ala omed, will a tzuras ha-pesach ever do anything? Meaning, is omed meruba ala paratz, is that a an absolute? You need omed meruba ala paratz, and when you don't have omed meruba ala paratz, it's a non-starter. It's pashut reading of the Rambam, sounds that way, right? Or is maybe there's still some room, even when it's paratz meruba ala omed, if you do your tzuras ha-pesachs right, maybe you make your tzuras ha-pesachs less than 10 amos wide, maybe that can already count as mechitza. Maybe that could add to your mechitza. The Rambam was talking about making tzuras ha-pesach more than 10 amos, so he said you need omen meruba al-paretz, and then for the areas that are more than 10 amos, you could use tzuras ha-pesach. So this is a discussion. The Magen Mishnah writes, by a pirtza eser that has a tzuras ha-pesach, efshar shehuzal yoda shafilu paretz meruba al-omed kasherhu. That if the pirtza is 10 amos or less, if the breaches that you put a tzuras pesach on are 10 amos or less, then even if the rest of the wall is part of meruba ala omed, since the tzuras pesachs are so small, that's okay. That can also be matir your erev. In the Chuvus Mishnas Yaakov, he disagrees. He says, come on, take a look at the Rambam. He says, Vavein v'lashon ozal, shediktek v'kasav, shim hayla tzuris ha-pesach einam afsedes ha-mechitza. He says, what does the Rambam say? If you already have a wall, and it just happens to be, you have large breaches in the wall, so tzuris ha-pesach will make it that you don't lose the wall. Mashma lehedya, t'lo ayri rak linyin shalo, tafsid ha-mechitza b'yosem yaser, v'afshom meruba, which means, you don't lose the wall, but you need to have the wall. If you don't have the wall, you don't get off the ground. So Tzuris HaPesach will make it like a Pesach, even if it's more than 10 amos wide, less than 10 amos wide, it's a Pesach even without a Tzuris HaPesach. So what it says, Muchach Lehedya, says Mishkanos Yaakov, Da'afilu Bepachos Miyud, Kol Sheparitz Meruba, Ein Tzuris HaPesach Molbo. He says, I don't care how small your Tzuris HaPesachs are. I don't care how small the breaches are. If it's Paretz Meruba, you've got a problem. Kivin Shein Olam Yishu Mechitza, Kivin Lashon Azal, Shein Pulasa Rak Shlo, Tafsid HaMechitza. The Tzuris HaPesach is there to save the Mechitza from being ruined by breaches. But if you don't have a Mechitza, Tzuris HaPesach does not create Mechitza. So it comes out that according to the Magen Mishnah, Tzuris HaPesach accomplishes two things. First of all, it could be mitzaref different parts of a mechitza. If you have a real mechitza, omein meruba, and you just happen to have breaches that are too big, Tzuris HaPesach combines the mechitza into a viable mechitza. And then the second thing it does is it works as a mechitza on its own, as long as the Tzuris HaPesach itself is 10 amos or less. Right? That's the way the Magen Mishnah says. Mishnas Yaakov says, no such thing as that second role. Tzuris HaPesach only does the first thing. If you have a mechitza, mechitza's omen rubel parts, and there are just problems that it's too open, there are too many openings, or the openings are too large, rather, so Tzuris HaPesach will close up those openings, will make the openings not be a problem. But you need to have the mechitza to begin with. Good, that's the machlokas between the Magen Mishnah and the Mishnas Yaakov. There is another machlokas that connects very strongly to this machlokas. There is Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva. He says, Al Tzad Yoser Tov. The best thing to do is Yachmer v'yaseh Tzuris HaPesach Shabi'iro, ba'ofen shelo yeh rachav yoser me'aser. Says the Chassam Sofer, whenever you want to make Tzuris HaPesach, always the best idea is never let it be too big. Always keep it under 10 amos. Every Tzuris HaPesach should be under 2 amos. V'ilo sagi b'kana echad, Yamid, Bays, Vigimel Kanu. What if you have this large area? So what are you going to do? How are you going to make Tzuris HaPesach under 10 amos if the area is 30 amos? So he says, multiple Tzuris HaPesach. Just keep putting poles there. Keep running poles along the entire way. Bays, Vigimel Kanu, Ben Kalachat, Pachos Measer. And as long as there's less than 10 amos between each pole, you're good. Ukoloma. Shekima Shaldas Rabbim, Enos and Tzuris HaPesach, Yosem Measer. Says the Chassam Sofer. Since according to the Rambam, can't have Tzuris HaPesach more than 10 amos. If the Pirtzah is more than 10 amos, where it's Paritz Meruba Lo made, so you can make as many Tzuris HaPesachs as you want, and that will solve the problem. Chassam Sofer doesn't tell us who he's holding like, but who's he holding like in the Machlokas between the Magen Mishnah and the Mishkanos Yaakov? He seems to be saying, you have Paritz Meruba Lo made. You don't have mostly walls. So multiple Tzuris HaPesachs, as long as you keep them under 10 amos, you're good. Right. Clearly like the Magen Mishnah, right? He holds like the more lenient view of the Magen Mishnah. Says the Chazon Ish, Masha Kosovo Chassam Sofer Zal Tocha Dvarim De Tzuris HaPesach Yesem Yesel Rambam De Loma Hani Beparitz Meruba Yachal Osa Bekanim Tachas HaChevel Shloye Ben Kanil Kanil Yesem Yesel. The Chassam Sofer's Eitzav, just keep putting on more poles that are within 10 amos with each other, says the Chazon Ish, Tamua Ma'od. Very, very strange. De Kol Sha Pirtze Yesem Yesel. He says, if the breach is more than 10 amos, Af Shei Chalik Es HaPesach L'Shnayim Eino Klum. Double doors is still a door. Meaning the point is, according to the Rambam, that if you can't have a Tzuris HaPesach that covers an area of more than 10 amos, well, it doesn't help to put another pole there. It's just still more Tzuris HaPesach. It's more of the same. It's not that a single Tzuris HaPesach can't be more than 10 amos. It's that more than 10 amos of space can't be covered by Tzuris HaPesach. It's not about the definition of what a single Tzuris HaPesach is. You just can't have so much space that's covered by Tzuris HaPesach, says the Chazon Ish. What, that middle pole, that's not a mechitza. It's overwhelmed by open space around it. It's certainly not a mechitza in its own right. So the same is true by Tzuris HaPesach. Sof, sarach ladin al yasem yasem v'makom echad shu pesach. But even the Chazon Ish, the way he's arguing with the Chassam Sofer is saying what? That I agree that sometimes you need to keep a Tzuras HaPesach under 10 Amos. When would you ever need to keep a Tzuras HaPesach under 10 Amos? The Rambam said explicitly that if you have Omid Merubah al Aparutz, if you're mostly fenced in, so then you could have more than 10 Amos Tzuras HaPesach. Why would you ever need to have? The Chazon Ish is saying, I agree Tzuras HaPesach will need to be less than 10 Amos sometimes, and I'm just disagreeing with the Chassam Sofer's suggestion of making lots of them one after the other to do that. I don't think that works. Well, why would you ever need it to be less than 10 Amos? It must be that the Chazon Ish is also assuming, like the Magen Mishnah's understanding. Even though when we read the Rambam, it sounded like the Mishkanos Yaakov was right. It sounded like, if you don't have Omid Merubah al Aparutz, you're done. But the Magen Mishnah's understanding seems to be shared by the Chassam Sofer and the Chazon Ish, that you don't need Omid Merubah al Aparutz. You have two options of how to make an Erev. You could either have Omid Merubah al Aparutz mostly fenced in, and then when you have open areas that are more than 10 Amos, make a Tzuras HaPesach, and that will be fine. Or option B, if you don't have mostly fenced in, so then what do? So make Tzuras HaPesach for the Pirtzos, as long as they're less than 10 Amos. Chassam Sofer says, how do you do that? Make each Tzuras HaPesach less than 10 Amos, even consecutively. Chazon Ish says, no. The Pirtzos each have to be less than 10 Amos. It has to be that each Pirtzos is less than 10 Amos. There's nothing you could do short of building Mechitzos if you have Pirtzos that are bigger than 10 Amos, and you have Paretz Merubah Ala Omer. So it seems that the whole Machlokas, Chassam Sofer and Chazon Ish, is all within the Shita of the Magen Mishnah, which again lends a little more koach to that Shita of the Magen Mishnah. Now there is another major Achron who seems to weigh in on this issue, and he seems to come on the other side. Reb Chaim, in his Sefer on the Ramban, in Perek Tezayin, Halacha Tezayin, Reb Chaim writes, "V'shani b'zeh din Tzuras HaPesach midin lavud, v'din omid merubah l'parutz." Tzuras HaPesach is a different din than lavud. Lavud is when less than three tefachim, it's just considered a continuous wall, and the din of omid merubah l'parutz, where you have mostly wall. The lavud v'omid merubah l'parutz hein atzman mechitza mamish. When you have lavud, when you have wall, that's a wall. That's actual mechitza. Masha'in kein Tzuras HaPesach. Afalgav the din mechitza ba, mikol makom eno mitztarefes lahashlim shir hamechitzos. Even though Tzuras HaPesach in some way or another allows us to carry, it's not an actual mechitza. And when we're trying to cheshbon how much mechitza do we have, Tzuras HaPesach doesn't get added to the equation as part of the mechitza. V'alkein sfir leila Rambam, duha din gamber rishus hayachid, de Shabbos be'inan dafka etzem hamechitzos ashvi rishus hayachid. To make a place a Rishus Yachid, you need mechitzos. Tzuras HaPesach will not make it a Rishus Yachid. Tzuras HaPesach will help when there are continuity problems in your mechitzos. But you need mechitzos. Ulahach yushehisna, bein b'shabos, bein b'sukkah, debin adafka, omid merubah l'parutz. And that's why the Rambam so strongly emphasizes you always need omid merubah l'parutz. It seems pretty clear that Reb Chaim holds like the Mishkanos Yaakov, that omid merubah l'parutz is a must. Once you parts Merubah Alomid, I don't care how many Tzuras HaPesach you make. Tzuras HaPesach isn't a mechitza. You need mechitza. Mechitza is what makes a Rosh HaSiachid. Tzuras HaPesach is a way to close in gaps in the mechitza, but it's not a mechitza. Mechitza is only with a real mechitza. So the way it turns out is we have, again, big picture. What have we done tonight? We wanted to know how much Tzuras HaPesach can you use. So Pashto's reading of the Gemara, all around you can have Tzuras HaPesach, all four sides, because Gemara spoke about four poles in the four corners of the field, Zmora Alehem. We had the Rabbeinu Chananel said, no, it's not about Tzuras HaPesach, that's a totally different story, but let's leave the Rabbeinu Chananel outside as an outlier for now, right? So you have the basic reading of the Gemara, then the Ritzba says, no, Tzuras HaPesach only works when you have two real walls. Then you have the Rambam saying, either that you must have Omid Merubah L'Parutz, that however many walls you have, the walls always have to be more omid than parts. It has to be more wall than open space. Or and then whatever gaps you have, you can close with the Tzuras HaPesach, no matter how large the gaps are. Or he's saying that even when you have parts merubah la'omid, as long as the gaps are less than 10 amos, you could use the Tzuras HaPesach. How do we pass on the Shulchan Aruch? It's pretty important, right? How do we pass on the Shulchan Aruch? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Samach Beis Se'if Yud. Im asa Tzuras HaPesach, afilu l'pirtzi yaserim e'eser mutter, if you make a Tzuras HaPesach, even if it's larger than 10 Amah opening, it's mutter. Va'afilu lo na'at al adalit kundesin ba'arba ruchos, va'asa Tzuras HaPesach al gabeyan, mutter. Sounds like the Shulchan Aruch Paskins against the Ritzvah, against the Rambam, Pashut reading of the Gemara, four sides, all Tzuras HaPesach, fine. Which would be obviously not like Reb Chaim explains in the Rambam. Reb Chaim explains in the Rambam, Tzuras HaPesach can't be a wall. No, no, this is a wall. That's fine. Tzuras HaPesach on all four sides, fine. But then he writes, Ula HaRambam, Ein Tzuras HaPesach Mo'el Lepirtzi Yosem Yeser, Elim Kenomid Murbal HaParetz. That a Tzuras HaPesach will not work for an area of larger than 10 Amos, unless you have Omid Murbal HaParetz. That's when a Tzuras HaPesach can work for an area larger than 10 Amos. So, the Shulchan Aruch himself quotes the Rambam. And normally, Shulchan Aruch always quotes the Rambam without quoting him. Normally, he just uses the Lashon of the Rambam. He doesn't even change it. He just, as much as he can, he tries to conform to the actual language of the Rambam. So what's the rule in Psak? When the Shulchan Aruch says, Stama Halacha, and then says, Ula HaRambam, we have another Shita. So the Kali HaPsak typically are, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Stam, and then says a Yesh Omrim, or quotes any Deya, by name or not by name, so the Stam is always the Halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to pretty clearly be telling us over here, you don't need to be Machmer for the Rambam. Significant Kula. Yet, in Sidi Erevin, we try. We really try to be, it's not, first of all, it's the Rambam. Second of all, it made it into the Shulchan Aruch. So this is, when the Rambam makes it into the Shulchan Aruch, so that's a pretty significant Rambam, even though it may not be how the Shulchan Aruch is paskening. So take our Erev, let's say. Take our situation, where we have, thank God, Omid Murubal HaParetz. Because we have Omid Murubal HaParetz, any pirtzos, even if they're more than 10 amos, we're good, according to the Rambam. Right? Any opening that's more than 10 amos, Tzuras HaPesach should be fine, as long as we don't have other problems with our Tzuras HaPesach, which we'll discuss at some later time. But as long as there are no problems with Tzuras HaPesach, we're fine in terms of that. What if you have a city, and there's a lot of city areas where they don't have Omid Murubal HaParetz? So can they use Tzuras HaPesach? So that really depends on your understanding of the Rambam. I mean, if they want to be machmir like the Rambam, so if they hold like the Magen Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam, they can still be machmir like the Rambam. As long as they're machmir that each section of Tzuras HaPesach is less than, I shouldn't say, according to the Magen Mishnah's understanding, the way the Chasam Sofer is makil, and they could still be machmir like the Rambam as long as each section of the Tzuras HaPesach is less than 10 amos. According to the Magen Mishnah's understanding, the way the Chazanish follows it through, the way the Chazanish is machmir, if any single space is larger than 10 amos, which it always is, they're in trouble. They're not going to be able to be machmir like the Rambam. Again, thank God here, we're able to be machmir for the Rambam very easily. We have Omid Murubal HaParetz, and therefore we don't have a problem. Now again, Shulchan Aruch Pasuk's like the Stam. Why are we so machmir to be machmir like the Rambam? In Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he writes, Tov Lachosh LeDevrayim, you should be Choshesh for the Shita of the Rambam, Afal Pishe Ikur Kesvar Rishona. Even though really Maker they've been passing like the first Shita, and says the Mishnah Berurah, in Mishnah Samach Beis, if got Nuntes, Nachon Lachosh LeDevray HaRambam. But he says, why? Shagam das hasmag vasmak who came. The reason to be choshesh for the Rambam is because the smag and the smak assume like the Rambam also. So, to be intellectually honest, if we really want to understand the Rambam, again, we have this machlokas, Magen Mishnah, and Mishkanos Yaakov, what the Rambam means, and then within the Magen Mishnah, we have the machlokas, Chacham Sofer, and the Chazanish. The Mishnah Berurah thinks the smag and the smak are saying the same thing as the Rambam, so it would behoove us to take a look at what the smag and the smak actually say to see what they're really saying. So the smag in Hilchos Erevin writes as follows: Tzuras HaPesach she'eino rachav yoser me'eser matir afilu midalad ruchos. A Tzuras HaPesach that's not wider than 10 amos can work on all four sides. Kedisa perakabed Erevin gabinatz harbar kandes me'ad bin asada machos mor aleim. Smak also. Tzuras HaPesach, she'enu yosem me'eser, matir afilu ba'ar baruchos. On all four sides, you could have Tzuras HaPesach as long as it's less than 10 amos. Very clear. The smag and the smak say Tzuras HaPesach, that's 10 amos or less, works even on all four sides, meaning even when it's parutz merubal omei, you don't have walls. So the Rambam is not saying you always have to have walls like the Mishkanos Yaakov, or at least the Smag and the Smak aren't saying that you always need to have walls. What are they saying? If you don't have walls, make sure your Tzuras HaPesach are small. Make sure they're less than 10 Amos. That's the Magen Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam. According to the Mishnas Yaakov and Reb Chaim, the Rambam is not at all like the Smag and the Smak. Right? They're saying the Smag and the Smak are being significantly more makel than the Rambam is. So according to the Rambam, how do we explain the Gemara that we started with? I guess we'll end with this. We'll end with the Gemara that we started with, and we'll continue next week with some of the more practical elements of actually building Yetzirah Sebesach. But this is just a good lumdus background to the concept of Yetzirah Sebesach. So according to the Rambam, how do we explain the Gemara? The Gemara said, four poles, Zmora Alehem. So how does the Rambam understand that Gemara? So there are three ways the Rambam can understand that Gemara. He might understand it like the Ritzvah, the way the Ritzvah said that, yeah, if you have two walls, then you could have Tzuras HaPesach. The four poles was just for Klayim. For Klayim, you could have four Tzuras HaPesach. But that, the Ritzvah said, that doesn't mean for Shabbos you could have four Tzuras HaPesach. No, for Shabbos you have two. Two for Shabbos is the same as four for Klayim. So that's all, so the Rambam could understand that way. He could understand, like Rabbi Chananel, that the Gemara is not even talking about Tzuras HaPesach, so he doesn't have to be bothered with it. The Gemara is not even discussing Tzuras HaPesach, it's discussing Lavud. That would be fine for the Rambam. Or, if you assume like the Magen Mishnah's understanding like the Rambam, he could understand the Gemara like the Smag, and the Smag understand the Gemara. That a Tzuras HaPesach that's 10 Amos or less is what the Gemara was talking about. It was a very tiny field. It was a Tzuras HaPesach of 10 Amos or less, four poles. Tzuras HaPesach of 10 Amos or less, meaning the whole field was less than 10 by 10. Very hard to imagine that that's called a field. It's like a rice paddy, I guess, could be like that. But fields typically are a little bit bigger, right? So that's where the Tzuras HaPesach, that's where the Tzuras HaPesach works. So, but that would only work if the Magen Mishnah was correct in his understanding of the Rambam. Okay, let's stop there.